Welcome to the latest in our Aberdeen Closed-End Fund podcast series. I'm Dan Buchanan with Aberdeen, and today we are focusing on Japanese equities with the head of Equities Japan, deputy head of Equities Asia-Pacific, and portfolio manager of the Aberdeen Japan Equity Fund, ticker JEQ, Kwok Chern Yap. Morning, Chern.
Morning.
Or good evening in Singapore. Chern, let's start. Could you give us a quick roundup of how the year has tracked so far for Japanese equities?
Okay, this year so far has been pretty positive. So as of end February, the Japanese market is up about 5.5%. Okay, so if you dig down into some of the details of what's gone on, just like elsewhere, there's been a bit of a reversal from what's happened last year. So some of the cyclical stocks in Japan have rebounded. You know, whereas last year, some of these stocks were sold off pretty sharply. Okay, but you know, but in January we saw a strong rebound, and although lately the rally has eased a little bit. Okay, there are two other things that I think are a little bit different about Japan coming into this year. Now, banks, which did well last year on the back of rising rates, you know, as a result of of inflation. Banks continue to do well in Japan, and that's on the view that the Bank of Japan will continue to tighten policy. This is based on rising inflationary pressures in Japan. The other area that's done relatively well in Japan is stocks that are trading below price to book. These stocks are typically deeper value type stocks, but in the market, and I can elaborate on this in a minute. The Tokyo Stock Exchange has come out and mentioned, you know, the undervaluation of some of these stocks in the market, and they've been encouraging these companies to raise their ROEs, you know, so that the price to book ratio can be better improved and to allow Japan to be a more attractive market. So as on the back of that, this basket of stocks has done well this year.
And where do you see opportunities today? You know, it's March the 8th, looking forward into 2023. If you can look into your crystal ball, Chern, please. Where are you seeing opportunities out there, whether it's sector or different industries?
Sure. Let me touch on a few areas where we find pretty decent opportunities in Japan. So I think the first thing that when we are thinking about this year is a normalization of conditions. And that's especially across Asia, especially for China. Well, as China is reopening, there are many aspects that you can that will happen as a result of this, right? Components that have been in short supply because of logistics, because of shutdowns of production in China, and so on. These issues should ease this year as China reopens its economy. So normalization of conditions from China's reopening, you know, components should be in better supply. You know, some of the logistics issues that we saw over the last year or two should start to ease. Business conditions in China will start to ease as well. As again, you know, China reopens and as the government looks at normalizing conditions, you know, right, getting the economy to rebound or to at least to start growing again, right? One other point I would add with regards to the normalization of conditions is what the Bank of Japan is doing. And if you follow the news in Japan, well, the market is expecting the Bank of Japan to start normalizing conditions through tightening its monetary policy. So at this point, the market is expecting things like negative interest rates to be abolished, and also, of course, you know, yield curve control that the Bank of Japan has put in place since 2016 to be eased, right? So and as a result of that, you know, conditions could tighten, but that's also positive for some areas of the market, in particular banks, right? One more area that I think is quite interesting are of course some of the idiosyncratic factors that you see that perhaps is a result of, our bottom-up stock picking. One area that we find interesting is with the pharmaceutical companies. They have, of course, you look at their pipelines and there are some events that were happening this year, some data readouts. We remain pretty positive in that area. Other idiosyncratic factor, another one that I'll highlight is again, the point I made earlier on low price to book type stocks, right? These are again, the Tokyo Stock Exchange has come out and encouraged companies trading below book to raise their valuations by either returning capital to shareholders or just being more shareholder friendly, right? Or and typically in this area of the market, some stocks do deserve to trade below book because there might be some issues in the business and so on. But others, for cyclical reasons, are trading below book, and that we find is a more interesting opportunity, right? So again, so there are some idiosyncratic factors that we can find in Japan that's quite interesting, alongside sort of normalizing of conditions, whether it's from China's reopening or what's happening at the BOJ, monetary policy in Japan. We think these are opportunities that are available in Japan at this point.
Thank you, Chern, for those comments. Let me switch gears for a moment and talk about some of the considerations that an active manager today, maybe at Aberdeen, might look at, particularly around environmental, social, and corporate governance, also known as ESG. And I'm curious, with the Japan Equity Fund, JEQ, how is the fund positioned on this aspect?
Thanks for asking that question. ESG is one of the most important aspects, when it comes down to our analysis of companies, right? And essentially, it just suggests that companies should be aware of how they're treating all stakeholders instead of just a narrow group of stakeholders, right? So in the sense of ES in Japan, that's a little bit more straightforward. When we assess companies in Japan, the ENS companies tend to do pretty well on the environmental and social front. Yeah. And many times for us, it's encouraging companies to disclose what they do because they actually do quite a lot of good things, positive things, but they don't tell investors or the public about what they do. On the governance front, here, we see a few additional challenges here in Japan. Now, if you follow Japan for a period of time, you'd know that governance in the past has been an issue in Japan, and that's been improving, but we think that there's still more that can be done. Yeah. So governance in many times for Japanese companies, it's just they need to improve and get the standards alongside some of the developed market peers, right? So things like more independent directors, awareness of shareholder returns, winding of cross shareholdings. These are important points that we discuss with the companies, and what we'd like to see is that these issues improve over time for companies. We don't expect fireworks, that things will change dramatically overnight, but we expect companies to work at these areas to improve over time. So ESG, you're right, Dan, it's very, very key to our process, to our assessment of companies in Japan.
No, those are great points around governance. Appreciate that. Let me switch gears one more time on you, Chern. So JEQ is a closed-end fund as a structure, as an investment vehicle. I'm curious, from a portfolio manager's perspective, how does the closed-end fund vehicle help you to effectively manage a portfolio like Japanese equities?
Okay, if you look at Japan, you actually have a pretty deep market, and you have something like 3,500 listed companies or more, and you can find all sorts of companies in Japan, which allows you to capture, get the exposure to different parts of, many different parts of the market, many different parts of the world, many niche areas, et cetera, right? So, and one of the benefits of having a closed-end fund is that it allows us to invest across the market, from smaller companies to larger companies, And with the closed-end fund structure, then you can properly construct your portfolio according to where you find opportunities, right? Whether it's smaller companies, larger companies, et cetera, right? The other benefit of a closed-end fund is gearing. Now, gearing has its upsides and downsides. But when the market or valuations are favorable, you know, for us, for shareholders, right? Gearing allows us to enhance returns, right? So these two facts, I think, are quite important when it comes to running a closed-end fund, and we use both. We believe we use both to our advantage.
And gearing, also known as leverage, I would say one other benefit, obviously, from your perspective, I would imagine, would be the ability or to avoid cash drag, meaning, you know, new money coming into the fund, maybe at peak heights of valuations going to work, and conversely, redemptions on the other side. So helps you to stay long term for that. Appreciate that. And finally, churn. How are you seeing the rest of the year shaping up? We talked about this a little before, but I'm just curious for investors and potential investors out there, why should they be looking at adding Japanese equities to a portfolio today?
Okay, for Japan, I would say that there are a few things that are specific to Japan that's quite interesting. Now, before I get into that, you know, just to back up a little bit, of course, there are risks, you know, in investing in equities across the world, and we know what the risks are. You know, the persistency of inflation is can be a headwind. You see continued geopolitical tension. You know, and that affects, of course, the Japanese equity markets as well, right? The flip side to this is, you know, some of the, of course, some of the idiosyncratic factors that I mentioned earlier, and the fact that you have this, the depth of the market allows you to capture some of these opportunities that we can find in Japan, and plus the closed-end fund structure allows us to go where the opportunities are, right? But more specifically, if you look at this year, we would expect some of the headwinds from last year to start to ease, right? The companies that have been battered in the last year, you know, should shape up a lot better. Commodity prices, you can argue, you know, where it's going, whether it's up and down, but you know, we expect that to at least to moderate from here. Likewise, rates should moderate from here. So while inflation remains high, we believe that, you know, conditions should be moderating, and that, you know, what this then means is some of the good quality companies in Japan, the ones that are that have had to fight back on higher input costs, you know, weaker profitability, should start to reverse that, right? And there'll be an inflection point, we believe, this year. And margins should start to tick up again, and profitability should start to improve. And this is, of course, for companies that have some pricing power, that are very strong brands, that are quite they're very strong market shares, you know, in the area they're operating. So we believe that these businesses, which redeem good quality businesses, should start to do well again. And alongside that, you know, normalizing of conditions, as well as some particular, you know, areas within the market that we find interesting, should help the market do a lot better this year than the last year.
And probably not to mention, Japan is the third largest economy in the globe, I believe, as of last year.
Absolutely right.
Continues to be. Yeah, very well educated workforce, and that's certainly a spur in that GDP. We thank you so much, Churn, for your insights today, and thank you particularly to our listeners for tuning in. You can find out more about the fund, the Aberdeen Japan Equity Fund, ticker JEQ, at www.abrdnjeq.com. I'm Dan Buchanan with Aberdeen. Do look out for future episodes.
This podcast is provided for general information only and assumes a certain level of knowledge of financial markets. It is provided for informational purposes only and should not be considered as an offer, investment recommendation, or solicitation to deal in any of the investments or products mentioned herein, and does not constitute investment research. The views in this podcast are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily reflect those of Aberdeen. The companies discussed in this podcast have been selected for illustrative purposes only, or to demonstrate our investment management style and not as an investment recommendation or indication of their future performance. The value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, and investors may get back less than the amount invested. Past performance is not a guide to future returns, return projections, or estimates, and provide no guarantee of future results.